And thank you, Don. Thank you, Frank, for remembering those that are serving and have served our nation. Appreciate it. Whoever did the bulletin, they remembered. So we wanted at least to pray for those that are still in harm's way. Father, we have an opportunity just to look at a couple of testimonies to help us understand how important it is, Lord, to daily give our lives to you and submit ourselves to you, for you are God. And we just ask that the work of your Holy Spirit will bring honor to our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Years ago, I developed a little thing that I call my daily prayer, which is basically accepting what is from the Heavenly Father as we begin a new day, but resisting totally what the enemy has planned for the day, and then arming yourself with the armor of God, claiming that armor and also protection under God's shadow, and wonderful promises in Psalm 91. But I wanted to just say a couple things about why I felt that was important. One of the things, there's a fellow that did the warfare prayer, Victor Matthews. He also did another, in a tract form, he also did another little tract called The Daily Affirmation of Faith. And it just, as I was thinking, so important to daily affirm some things that I believe, and as I begin a day. And so that was one of the things that was played into that I, and it's not, I think it's important to know you may pray the same prayer, but as long as it's filled with meaning, it's not just a reciting of words. It's a heartfelt prayer to the Lord. Realizing that as a Christian, I have really three inputs guiding what my day should be, and certainly the first, the Heavenly Father, has a right plan for my day, my future. There's no question, Jesus pointed out in John 3:16, what he has done is because he loves the people of the world, as lost as they are. Psalm 145:17 says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways. His Son modeled submission to the Father. As we see in the flesh, the hardness really of what he faced with the cross, even though he knew it's why he came here, he said, Father, if there is any way, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He's always submissive to the Father. John 8:29, Jesus said, I do always those things that please him. So we have a model of following Jesus Christ, but knowing that God has a plan and it's right and it's righteous, so many times we don't understand it in the outworking of it. We need to affirm that we yield ourselves to him. Satan has a plan for our lives. I have no doubt about that. John 10:10, the thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, destroy. But I've come, Jesus said, to give life and life more abundant. I know the one thing that impressed me as a young person was reading C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters. And I think he was publishing them, but he had an understanding of the battle. And basically, the whole is chapters of a senior devil instructing a junior devil how to get his victim away from living for the Lord, how to get his victim, his victim is a Christian that he was teaching him how to go after. And he really, I believe C.S. Lewis had a pretty good grasp of what goes on in the battle. Thirdly, there's always my way, something that I think should direct my day and go by my own ideas. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We really need to affirm, I believe, that we accept what the Heavenly Father ordains for my day. James, I feel, also just makes it very simple. It's James 4:7. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And so there is that privilege to claim the provision of the Lord for our protection, the full armor of God, other passages of Scripture, but also, of course, Psalm 91. As Mary and I were reading through Isaiah 39, which we kind of want to start there today, Hezekiah's response to a message from the Lord, and I want to use two testimonies, a testimony of Hezekiah, a wonderful king, but he didn't end well, and another is a brother in Christ that I never met, Walter Wilson, but I will tell you, Liz knew him. He was instrumental, really, in there were two groups that were saw the need for a Christian school, a Christian college, and it became Calvary Bible College, now Calvary University, but he also was president there for a time, and so she wasn't there at the time he was president, but he often, I guess he came to Salina Bible Church and spoke, and I won't tell you more about Walter Wilson. But anyway, I want to look at those two. And you know, God uses testimonies. And I was just thinking of that this morning. It's in Jeremiah 15:1. What God said through Jeremiah, even though Moses and Samuel stood before me. It's interesting, God picked out those two as intercessors. They were great intercessors. Samuel was an intercessor. Moses was an intercessor. And what he's saying, even if those two stood before me, I couldn't hear them for my people. They've been so wicked. Testimonies are important to the Lord. And what I want to do is first to go to Isaiah 38 in the first three verses. In those days, and by the way, I think I wrote it down here, that Hezekiah, he was the 16th king of Judah. Saul, David, on down, and he was the 16th king of Judah, used mightily of God. And he trusted God and was used of God to restore, really, Judah from some of the wickedness that had happened from his father. So Isaiah 5:38, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. He didn't want to accept that message from the Lord. And let me just say, that is not wrong when you're sick to seek healing from the Lord. This is a different situation. The messenger from Isaiah came and said, you're going to die. And he was not about to accept that. And God gave him 15 more years. But I want to say something about those 15 years. You know, there's a time to live, there's a time to die, and a right time to go on home. And Hezekiah was not ready for that. I would go just a moment to 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and I did put a marker there. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 24. And in those days, Hezekiah was sick to death and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him and gave him a sign. And you remember, Hezekiah said, "What kind of a sign?" And the Lord said, "You want the shadow on the sundial to go forward or go backward?" And he gave him a sign, back the shadow on the sundial up, backward. But Hezekiah rendered not according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. There was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah did humble himself for the pride of his heart. And go to verse 31. Howbeit in the business of the ambassadors, some ambassadors from Babylon heard that he was sick, and they came to him with a message of kindness, and they came to him with gifts. And howbeit in the business of the ambassadors and princes of Babylon, who sent to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. Kind of a scary thing, but he backed off from him and his prompting. I want to know what's in, God already knew it was in Hezekiah's heart. But, and that brings us then to the passage in that Frank read this morning, that those messengers, Isaiah came to him and said, "What did you show them?" And I think God had already prompted Isaiah what he had done. "I showed him everything. There was not a thing that I have and that God's blessed me with, and the nation of Judah here, that I did not show them." Isaiah went ahead and then gave him the message from the Lord that was read this morning. "Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house, that thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day, and shall be carried off into Babylon, and nothing will be left." He also said, "Children of yours will be eunuchs in his court." I really react to that last verse. to me, it says something about Hezekiah at that time. Hezekiah to Isaiah, "Good is the word of the Lord, which thou hast spoken." He said, "Moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days." Anybody that's very concerned about your heritage and your children, your grandchildren, it's a hard, hard message. The truth is, he had a son in that 15-year period, Manasseh. And Manasseh was so wicked and leading them into idolatry, and there was a kind of a repentance at some point in his life. But if you look at it, there's just no question that in God's wisdom, Hezekiah, it was time to move on home. And God doesn't always give you what you cry for, and praise God if he doesn't. It was not good that Hezekiah lived 15 more years. And so I just share that testimony. He had come to the Lord. He was living for the Lord. He was used of the Lord. But he didn't like what God was going to do, that it's time for you to die. So that's one testimony. It just occurred to me, it's so important to be able to say day by day, "I accept what's from you, God. Whether it doesn't seem good to you, God knows what he's doing, and he is righteous." With that, I picked up something that just reminded me at the same time of the testimony of Walter Wilson. And I share that with you because I think it's so very important. He came to the Lord, and he was a medical doctor in Kansas City area. He came to the Lord in 1896, and he loved God's word, and he wanted to be used by God. He gave out tracts and so forth, but he knew his life was really ineffective for the Lord. He didn't feel like God's blessing was really on his ministry, but he had a heart for that. And then God chose to start working on him in a special way. There was a godly man from France that came and stayed in his home. He never named him. But that godly man knew Walter Wilson well, evidently, and he asked him one day, he said, what is the Holy Spirit to you? And Walter Wilson said, well, he's a third person of the Trinity, teacher, guide. No, he said, that isn't me. I went, what is the Holy Spirit to you? And he pressed him a bit, and we have the word that he said at that point. and I'll just try to explain that a little bit. He said, he is nothing to me. I have no contact with him, no personal relationship, and could get along quite well without him. Now, as a Bible-believing man, which he was, when pressed with his relationship with the Holy Spirit, that was his response. And I think it came out of, you know, there has been teaching that some groups, they go over indulgent in the Holy Spirit and things with a bad reputation, and he just kind of had the fear, you just don't mess with the Holy Spirit. So anyway, but God was working in his life, and he says it really grieved him that he had said that, but it just came out of him that I really don't have a relationship with him. And that man from France says, I just want you to know you need to get to know him. This is why your life is so unfruitful, because he has really no part in your life, though he has come to live in your life. On January 14th, 1914, he went with his father-in-law to hear Dr. James Gray, and I suspect it would have been either at Moody Church or somewhere with Moody Bible Institute. But anyway, Dr. James Gray was president, evidently, of Moody Bible Institute. And he was there and said, Dr. Gray leaned over the pulpit and he asked in Romans 12:1, says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. He says, have you figured out who it is? He says, Jesus Christ has a body. He has a body at the right hand of the Father. God's on the throne. He said, it's the Holy Spirit that wants to have you give your body to dedicate your body to. And so that is kind of the why of his prayer. He said he went home that night, and Dr. Gray had challenged him, give your body to the Holy Spirit. Let him work through you. And I'm going to just share, you got it on the back of your bulletin, but I felt it's important. It's interesting. It's a very personal thing to Walter Wilson, but he's made it public what he prayed that night. You kind of see the background where he came from, saying he's really nothing to me, and now be challenged that Romans 12:1 is asking us to give our body to God. There I lay upon the carpet, prostrate in God's presence, heart broken over a fruitless life, yet filled with a great hope because of the words I had heard from a teacher whom I had all confidence. There in that quiet hour, that late hour, I said to the Holy Spirit, Lord, I've mistreated you all my Christian life. I've treated you like a servant. When I wanted you, I called for you. When I was about to engage in some work, I beckoned you to come and help me perform my task. I have kept you in the place of a servant. I have sought to use you only as a willing servant to help me in my self-appointed and chosen work. Courage. I shall do so no more. Just now, I give you this body of mine from my head, my feet. I give it all to you. I give my hands, my limbs, my eyes, my lips, my brain, all that I am within and without. I hand over to you for you to live in the life that you please. You may send this body to Africa or lay it on a bed with cancer. You may blind the eyes or send me with your message to Tibet. You may take this body to the Eskimos or send it to the hospital with pneumonia. It's your body from this moment on. Help yourself to it. Thank you, Lord. I believe you've accepted it, for in Romans 12:1, you said acceptable unto God. Thank you again, my Lord, for taking me. We now belong to each other. So we saw a little bit what led him up to it and coming to this kind of decision to just yield himself to the Spirit of God. And I want to just share a little bit the result of that. It says the next morning, there were two women that came for selling advertising, and he'd met with them many times. But he said, before, my lips belonged to myself. I never even spoke to them about the Lord. But it was different that day. And he witnessed to them. And both of those ladies, one very quickly wanted to write Christ, but both of those ladies accepted Christ. The next morning, after he had been prostrate on the floor giving his life to the Lord, he was known for his witnessing, and he has a book written, The Romance of a Doctor's Visits, on just a couple of things that happened with those ladies especially, but there was just, God just used him. God used him to witness and to be bold for Christ. One of the chapters or one of the instances in that book was Little Man in a Large City. He said, I went to New York and I told the Lord one morning, I don't know anybody in this city. It's so big, I don't. But you know who's here. And if there's somebody that needs to accept Jesus, would you lead me to that person and that he might end up in heaven? And so he was walking down, and he saw this stationery store, and it had a picture of it had a book there in the window. So he went in and looked at that book, and he thought it'd be perfect prayer book. So a little guy from Germany, as he was wrapping it up, he said, thank you, I'm really looking forward to having this prayer book. And that little German man started to unwrap it. He says, I'm sorry, sir, it's not a prayer book. It's just blank pages. He said, let me explain. I write the prayer requests on this side and the answers over on this side. Anyway, what he said, I was 20 minutes after my room in a city that I didn't know anybody. And this little German man said, mister, you don't know what you've said. I've gone all over the city trying to find out how to get my life right with God. And finally, I hear it. And there was just story after story in V. Raymond Edmond, in writing about him, said hundreds of thousands have thrilled at the challenge of the doctor's experiences in soul witnessing. Just... The Lord confronted Hezekiah. It's time for you to go home. It's time for you to die. He didn't want to accept that. And God just gave him 15 more years. Disaster in many, many ways. Walter Wilson, I don't want to have anything to do with the Holy Spirit, but God sent him a man to speak to him about that, message about it. And he broke and wonderfully gave his life to the Holy Spirit to live through him and in him. So I just want to say, on a daily affirmation, there may be a different way of saying it, presenting yourself to the Spirit of God to work through you. Choose God's, I choose your will today, God. Whatever you ordain for me, I accept that. Choose to abide in Jesus Christ and let him just live through you, or choose to yoke up with him and let Jesus live through your life. An important thing is to give your life to God. Thy will be done. There be many things that God will take you through, and I can testify that this is not going to be easy. This is not going to be something that is natural for me, but I invite you to get done your will. I was just thinking of Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Can't do it ourselves. You got to let him work through us. And I just been challenged with the testimony of Walter Wilson and how God used that in his life. And I don't think there's anything special about him. The Holy Spirit, we are his temple. We are his body. It's important that he has free rein to it. God does not force us, but God wants to make us willing. And I praise God for how he used that man. Father, we just share these testimonies this morning. Things come into our life and we look at them. I'm convinced it's so important that every day we affirm that we accept what's from you, Heavenly Father. Your ways are righteous. Your plans for us are good and right. And we wouldn't be able to find our way on that. And so, Lord, speak to us about, as Dr. James Gray spoke to Walter Wilson that day. I'm sure he didn't know who he was really. So important a ministry that day. Thank you for your work of bringing us to the point of giving ourselves totally to you for your work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Just in closing, I'd like us to turn in our hymnal and I'll have you stand. Have thine own way, Lord. I was looking at that. I think we'll just sing that third verse of Have Thine Own Way. May that be our prayer today. Church, stand, please. Verse 3. Let me just share one more thing that comes to mind. I think also I believe that the man from France spoke to Walter Wilson about that. The thing is, the Holy Spirit, his work is to glorify Jesus Christ. And it's not to draw attention to himself, but to honor Christ. And he hadn't been seeing that. Don't be afraid of inviting the Holy Spirit to take control of your life. Again, Father, thank you. Thank you for these testimonies just to help us. And get done in our lives what's on your heart, I pray. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.